chapter 41. Anyone else tired? Everybody's yawning, looking around. You guys almost like it's an hour later than it really is. Genesis chapter 41 and verse 46. If you're able to stand, I invite you to stand as we read God's Word tonight. Genesis 41, verse 46. 41:46 says this: And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all of the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we do ask you tonight, Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray now you give us ears to hear. Father, Lord, I pray that we would just stop today and try to put aside the affairs of the day and what lies behind and what lies ahead. And Father, the Lord, I just pray now that we would look into your word for a few moments tonight. And Lord, you'd accomplish your will in our lives. Lord, help us be sensitive to your leadership tonight. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You could have a seat. Genesis chapter 41, verse 46. Joseph, he was at the age of 30. And then look over to Genesis chapter 50, verse 22. Genesis chapter 50, verse 22. Thing is, my speech, think it's an hour later too, so I get tireder. I stutter more and I get tireder. So tireder, is tireder a word? Tireder. So everything's all messed up. We had done the mission. I was at my watch, and I forgot to set my watch back. My watch said it's 2 o'clock. And I thought, how in the world did I lose over an hour and a half? So I'll take you to McDonald's. I look at my watch, it's 2 o'clock, so I don't. I think I eat the rest of my sandwich. I'm not sure, but I panicked. I got in the bus. I'm running. My wife said, "What are you doing?" I said, "It's 2 o'clock. We're late." She said, "It's only 1 o'clock. You forgot to set your watch back." So it's been one of those days today. I'll drag her back. I got to get the mission. I'll let everybody off the bus. I sat inside the bus for a minute and just kind of calm down. My wife said, "I need to calm down sometimes." So tonight is my patience. What good that's worth. Genesis chapter 50 looked at patience in the life of Joseph. Something we all need in our lives. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 22 says this. Verse 22, and Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. We saw the last chapter that he was 30, and keep in mind that he's about 17, was taken in captivity. So we got 17 to 30, and now we have the end of his life. Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children, the third generation, the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, was brought upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I will die, and God will visit you and bring you out of this land into the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, "God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence." So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him and put him in a coffin. Now, if you would look over to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22, Hebrews 11, 22, we're using your Bibles tonight, Hebrews 11, 22. He was 11:22. Says, but, I don't have time to find your pages yet. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the part of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. But, you know, we've been talking the last several weeks about the life of Joseph. We saw the first week how he was prosperous. I mean, he put bad things behind him. He looked ahead. And then we saw throughout the book of chapter 39, verse 3, 5, and 21, you know, that people could tell that the Lord was with him. We see that he had a daily walk with God. And then we saw that everything he did, he excelled. And we see that he was diligent. And then we saw that he resisted temptation. The scene I'd like to look at, you know, and the patience he must have had. Just think for a second. I need a 17-year-old. Anybody here around 17, close to 17? Oh, Brother Alex, you raised your hand. Thank you, Brother Alex. Here's Brother Alex. Okay, he's 17 years of age. He's taken Before 17, his brothers had mocked him and they made fun of him. And now, at 17, he's cast a pit. He's drawn back. Yeah, he's sold, and then he's taken to Egypt. He's taken to Egypt. He's sold as a slave. He serves him some time. You know, in Potiphar's house, and everything goes good. And all of a sudden, he's falsely accused. And he's put in prison. He's in prison for a while. The butler come in, the baker come in. He tells them the dreams. They say, as soon as we're out, we're gonna make sure we get you out of here. So they go out and nothing happens. A little bit later with Joseph, with the Pharaoh, he dreams a dream, and Joseph interprets the dream, and so he goes up and he's in charge of all the land. Okay, now he's over here. Now, so from 17 to age 30. From 17 to 30, he's been a life of ups and downs. In those lives of ups and downs, there's been good days and there's been bad days. There's been heartaches and there's been sorrows. You know, and then on over here, so he's 30. Okay, next time we see him over here, he's an old man. Start to walk like me. Okay, you know, he's an old man. He's crippled up. You know, probably all crippled up. You know, and he's an old man. And he's about to die. You know, he had the same vision now as he did back then. He said, God's going to take our people back into the homeland. Take my bones. Don't bury them here. I want my bones to go back in the homeland. He had the same goal, the same vision for his people then as he did many years ago. And I begin to think, you know, what possessed him to have that patience? Thank you, Alex. You know, I begin to say, you know, and so I got the dictionary and I looked up, look at the definition of patience. It means this. The word patience means the sufferings or of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation of evil with a calm, unruffled temper, endurance without murmuring or fretness. Patience may spring from constitution and fortitude, from a kind of heroic pride, or from Christian submission to the divine will of God. We see that Joseph walked with God with all those years. It's kind of like Brother Scott saying with this song, you know, after a while, it gets discouraging in the Christian life. There are times where it gets discouraging in the Christian life, you know, things are up, things are down. But I begin to look at the life of Joseph, and for all those years, we see that he had patience. So now I'm going to look at a couple of things about patience. The first thing about patience is the way we attain it that's bad. It's a problem. Look at James 1:3. The way that we... patience is attained. James 1:3. Go to these and we'll bring them all together. It's only 5 to 7, so you guys are used to getting out of church, so we'll be done after a while. So don't go to sleep. Book of James, chapter 1, verse 3. The problem with patience is this. James 1:3. Know that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So we see the trying of our faith works patience. Then look back to Romans 5:3. Look at Romans chapter 5:3, the way that we attain patience. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. Romans chapter 5 verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. So we see the tribulation worketh patience. And then back to Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, for we were his workmanship. The problem with the patient is it's the way that we attain it. Well, can you stand back up here real quick, Alex, since you're here and volunteered a while ago? You're volunteered for life. Okay, I picked on you for a while, so we're good. You know what? Man, every time he comes up, he's taller. Okay, you know what? You know, his life, with God, it's working his life. And the tribulation work. You know, there are times, picture if Alex was, let's figure he's too tall. Okay? He's not. But picture he's too tall. And I think, man, he's not proportioned right. You know, I take a chisel. And I start to hit the chisel, after a while, does that feel good? Answer is no. I don't feel good. Okay, it doesn't feel good. You know, tribulation works patience. And as God works in our lives, when God will take our tribulation, our heartache, our sorrows, and the Lord uses those to work in our life to conform us. Because God's got a plan for our life. And it takes patience. I believe the life of Joseph, he had patience. We're going to see a lot of why. And then the life of Job, he had patience. Apostle Paul had patience, in endured afflictions and trials and heartache. He understood this, that tribulations brings patience, but also the tribulations, God is using those in my life to form me and make me what he ought to be. It's God's plan for Alex one day to be something, I'm not sure what. But whatever that plan is, God will work in his life between now and then to accomplish that. And some of those things might hurt. Folks, sometimes it hurts to be hurt. No one likes to be hurt. Our flesh rebels against it. Our flesh wants to cry. If I had a real chisel, I'd be getting chiseled on his shoulder. He's going to cry out because it hurts. So we thank you for that. You see, the first thing the problem with patience is it hurts, but it's always for our good. Okay, what it helps us do? Look at Psalm 119, 167. Some benefits of tribulation that brings patience. Psalm 119. Help if I knew where Psalms was. I might have to ask some of the small kids to help me. Psalm 119, verse 67-78. The first thing that tribulation helps us in, verse 67 and 68. That thou hast dealt well with my servant, O Lord, according to thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good, and doest good. Teach me thy statute. You know, the first thing about tribulation, it helps us draw nigh to God. Lee, come up here real quick. I'll come down here. You come up a couple years ago when we was over it in Hungary. My favorite part of the whole, not funniest, my favorite part of the whole trip, well, I guess it's a couple of things. We got in town, and we got there, and Brother Christensen's house, with Matila, we went over to a festival. It is about midnight, and then they all said hello, and they left. And I thought, our first night here, our first weekend here, and we was tired from the jet ride and from preaching. Then everybody headed over to the house the next day, and so the park was on past the Olympic Park. It was a big festival over there, and so they all said goodbye. It was about midnight, and I began to look around, and I thought, nobody from Cusado to ask directions, and I thought, what do I do? And all we knew is that we came from that part of town. So it was. So I took my hat. Said, "It's okay, honey." I was all macho. I said, "It's okay." I'm like, "Oh no!" So we started walking. And I looked at the sign. I couldn't read the signs. I looked at the cloud. I looked at the sky. It was all cloudy. I couldn't see the stars that night. And it was just dark. And there wasn't a whole lot of street lights. And everybody's walking by us, and they was talking. We didn't understand a word they said. Our first weekend in Hungary, we felt lost. And so, and then I always make good decisions. Sometimes I make great decisions. And so there's one place where you can walk by a lake. You walk through the woods, and there's a trail through the woods. Well, I said, I think this trail takes us over next to their house. And so we got in the middle of the woods, path went here, path went there, and I thought, I said, are you scared? And she says, no. She drew nigh. Well, one of the good things about tribulations in our lives is that sometimes, you sit down. One of the good things about your tribulations, I don't know about you, it seems like the harder part of life that I go through, I depend upon Him more. I draw close to Him. So one of the things that helps us to draw closer to God. And then look at Romans 5:3. Romans 5:3. I like that point. I'll bet it was. Romans 5:3. Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and Romans. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Anything it helps us do? Romans 5, 3. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation works with patience, and patience experience hope, and hope may make us not ashamed, because the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given to us. When we went through the hard times of life, we experience God's love more. We don't experience it, but we understand it more. I think of Hosea was commanded to marry Gomer, and so the prophet married a prostitute, and it was married, and she betrayed him, had children, betrayed him, had children, betrayed him, had children. She goes to the auction block. This card I said to God, I said, what's going on? And so he said, God, I love her. And then God said, now go buy her back. And then you preach to Israel how much I love them. In the time of heartache and sorrow, Hosea learned a deeper appreciation for the love of God. And turn to he's able to refer you to others. So I think one of the benefits of hard times, it draws us closer to God. Number two, I believe it gives us a deeper understanding of God's love. And then look at James 5:11. I'm liking this a whole lot more than you guys are. James 5:11. Alex, are you liking this, Alex? Are you liking this? Okay, good. James 5:11. James 5:11 says this. Take my brother the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for example, the suffering affliction and of patience. I begin to think of Job. Toward the end of the cycle, I couldn't turn back to the book of Job. Last chapter of Job. I didn't write it down. Book of Job. Job chapter 42 and verse 14, 15, 16. Verse 14, and he called the first name of Jemai, which means day by day warmth or affectionate dove, day by day warmth, affection, or dove. And then in the name of the second, Keziah, and that means a sweet smell or fragrance after the rain. And then in the name of the third was Kerahopek, which means it's a fair color eye paint that made the face to glow. You know, the whole point was here is that after Job, after all he went through, he knew and understand the full joy of God. He named his first daughter by affection. He named the second after peace, and the third after joy. Sometimes in tribulation, God removes all the dross out, and we see what counts. I promise you, if we go through a hard time and we lose everything and start over, we'll know what's important and what's not important. In our lives, let's be thankful when the hard times come. Number one, the hard times are going to teach us patience. Number two, the hard times are going to bring us closer to God. They're going to help us understand more the love of God in our lives. And it's going to teach us what really counts. If we had to decide today what to give up, what would we give up first? If we would make a decision today and we was faced with a tragic loss, would we focus on what we're about to lose or in something else. I can tell you, I know how important my wife is now. I've always told her I loved her. I was thankful for her. I couldn't live without her. I always told her that. And I thought it was true. But when we stood before the doctor said, it's cancer. It's gnarly. It's going to be a long haul. Then I knew what mattered. I knew that I loved her. I knew I couldn't live without her. And and all the other things just kind of took a distant second. Sometimes in life, I believe that God allows hard times to come, to make it, because appreciate what we have. I know I'll never forget. I've ever get to the pastor from Texas that was here. He was in his late 70s, I think. He was talking at the table, and he said, "Rick," he said, "don't wait till you lose what you love before you appreciate what you have." I began to think about that. I thought that should go in all the areas of our life, would not just our marriages. And then we see how we ought to act in the storms of life. Number one, look back at Romans 15:4. Then we'll wrap everything up. Romans 15:4. Romans chapter 15. In verse 4, in the storms of life, the first thing we ought to do, Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things was written for our time were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of Scriptures might have hope. But the first thing we need to do is to get along with the Word of God and find examples of people in the Bible going through what we're going through, and begin to read that Scripture and reread and graft it into our lives. Many times we read to say we read, but do we read for comprehension and understanding? I always tell the kids in Bible class, assignment today is to read for comprehension and understanding. Do I take time for whatsoever? Everything. Written for our time? Time's past. Written for my learning, that I might have comfort from the Word of God. I begin to take the Word of God, and if I passages that deal with my situation, I begin to read and reread and read and reread. I love this. It's important that we give attention to the Word of God. Then secondly, turn to Colossians 1:11. Colossians 1:11. Colossians 1:11, it's strengthened with all might according to his glorious power to patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, and have made me to be partakers of the heritage of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated the kingdom of his dear Son. And then we remember redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Secondly, is to have complete dependence upon God. Folks, we can't do it without his help. We can't live the Christian life without his help. We can't survive the trials of life without his help. So number one, attendance to Scripture. Number two, dependence upon God. And then look at 1 Thessalonians 4:18. 1 Thessalonians 4, and we're almost done. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Chapter 4, verse 18. Always keep in mind that Christ is coming soon. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. Wherefore, they're looking at verse 17. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I'm thankful tonight to know that the Lord is going to come soon, and that should give us comfort. So number one, the attendance to Scripture. Number two, the dependence upon God's word. Dependence upon God. Number three, keep in mind that Christ is returning soon, and we draw comfort from that. Then last, look at Hebrews 12:1. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we compass with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience this race that's set before us. The practice of patience, we need to give attendance to Scripture. Number two, we need to be complete dependence upon God. Number three, remembrance that Christ is going to soon return. And then the last thing is this, to lay aside the weight of sin. As we run this race, a race after a while gets tiresome. You get tired. Things begin to weigh us down. It's important, if there's things in my life that I know are wrong, just to cast them off. The things I need to let go of, just to cast those things off. It's easy as we run a race. It's easy to get tired and we get weary and we slow up and we get tired and we get weary, we slow up a little bit more. And when we get tired, we begin to think things and say things and do things. You know, I normally think, when I think of a patient, you know, as I think of a sick person that's laying there in bed somewhere, and the angel's there next to them, they're ministering them, and they're having patience. They're just waiting, they're patiently waiting to see what God's going to do. But when I think of Joseph, I don't think of that kind of patience. I think patience that helped him just keep on going. Whatever came in his life, he kept on going. He accepted it as the will of God. He learned from it. He grew from it. He didn't look back. He always looked ahead. He always knew that God was working. When he was 17, he knew God was working. When he was 30, he knew God was working. And on his deathbed, he knew that God was working. And he said, "Take my bones and put in a coffin, and you take a moment to Egypt." He knew that God was working and was going to work even at those times. Again, he knew God was going to continue to work. I'm thankful to today for our senior citizens here that have exhibited patience over the years, and they still continue to go. They continue to learn. They continue to grow. Hard times, good times, they keep on going. Now, I want to encourage all the younger ones as well. Have patience. Allow God to work. It hurts sometimes when God allows things to happen. It hurts. But you know what? If I know that God's working, and I allow Him to work, and I keep on going, knowing that Christ is going to come one day, He's continue to work, I can learn. I can grow. What if Joseph would have quit? God used Joseph to save the nation of Israel. A lot was on his shoulders. He didn't know it the whole time, but at the end he did. See, a lot of times we don't know God's purpose until it's over. All the time, I'm sure he didn't understand what was happening when he was put in the pit, and when he was sold, and he became a slave, and he was put in prison and in jail. And then when his brother came before him, Joseph said, "I know. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to save much people alive." He knew God's purpose. And many times in the storms of life, we don't know what the storm is working, but I know this, I can depend upon God. And know He's in charge of all things. He's going to accomplish His will and conform me to the image of His Son. And then the way I do that is exhibit the patience that Joseph had and allow God to work. Now, to one last illustration. This is my brother Alex. I'm going to take a chisel and I'm going to begin to work on Alex's life. This time, just pull away. Ready? And so I'm going to begin to work. That's what we do. That's not patience. Patience is this. Stand still this time. Stand still. I started getting a real chisel on it, and a chisel, I thought I'd miss a hammer and chisel. I thought it might hurt him. It'd be bad. His mom says, "Yeah, right." That's patience. Allowing God to work and going on. Allowing God to work. We can't understand it, but one day we will. If I keep my life as perspective at myself, I'm going to fall short. When I get in God's Word and I learn and I grow, I apply it, I engraft it to my life, I make it part of my life, I talk to the Lord and I tell Him how I feel and ask Him for help, I depend solely upon Him, knowing that He's working, then God can work in my life. But if we always pull back, God gets out a bigger chisel. His will be done in our lives. Are we allowing God to work in our life? Or are we being the God of our life? He's God, and He can work, and He will. Let's not pull back from the hand of God.